it's the best day. Doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what you think, and it is. Today I'm going to make somebody happy in our church, and it's Jackie, because I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus. The blood, life is in the blood. And there's only life in Jesus' blood, not in bulls or goats. And in the Old Testament, they had no life. They still had consciousness of sin. They still had, it was still remained on them. So they never, they had, you know, the high priest would go in once a year, and he would sacrifice. He would bring in the blood. And in the New Testament, we have a, it's a perpetuity, or it's permanent. It never stops, the blood of Jesus. Jesus was a living sacrifice, and he, when he died, when he bled, when his blood was shed, that was it. That was, he fulfilled everything. All the sacrifices, all the Old Testament. The Old Testament was just types and shadows. That's why God had to get rid of that. He did it on purpose. If you can read it in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. He had to get rid of all those, that blood, all that old Testament stuff, so he could bring in the new. Before we can bring something new in, you have to get rid of the old. It's just the way it is. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. Christians try it all the time, but it doesn't work. So the blood is how you access God. Without the blood, you cannot be in his presence. And you have to come in with sin. You have to come in with honesty. You have to come in to his presence that way. You can't come into his presence any other way, Jackie. You can't just, oh, I'm going to worship God and blah, 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 and come in. You can't do that. You have to worship God in spirit and in truth. The truth is, you can't get in without the blood. You have to have the blood with you. The blood of Jesus, it doesn't change you. It just gives you access to the covenant. So you're a child of God. That's who you, that's your identity. The blood is your identity, who you are. When God looks at you, the Father, he looks at, oh, there's the blood. Obo doesn't get in because he's good, because he's Nigerian, because he's black, because he's whatever. That doesn't mean anything. He gets in by the blood. That's it. You don't get in by being good. You don't get in by being awesome. You just get in because you're a child. That's your covenant. That's your identity. And your identity will create something in you. It will give you the capacity to do what God wants you to do. So the blood gets you into the presence of God, and then the presence changes you. You can read this in 2 Corinthians. If you behold Jesus, you're changed. That's how you behold him. You get in by the blood. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed. Jesus died outside the camp, outside the thing, the tabernacle. Well, the tabernacle, the human tabernacle, the one that the Jews built, was worthless. It was just a type and a shadow. It was a type, it wasn't worthless. It was the way. But now we have a heavenly tabernacle, something that's in heaven, built on better promises because of the blood. The blood is way better than bulls and goats. As a matter of fact, God's not even pleased with that. It says in the Bible, he wasn't even pleased with it. He wasn't even interested in all their sacrifices and all their whatever they were doing. He was looking forward to a new thing that God was going to do. It was through the blood. So the blood gives you access to the presence of God, and then the presence of God changes you. That's how Clay got healed. I don't care about all the stuff people did. That's fine. But he got healed by that because of the blood. I talked to Clay yesterday for a couple hours, or the day before yesterday. Man, he's skinny, just like Gina. When you get COVID, sometimes you get... When I get sick, I'm like that. Of course, I haven't been sick in a long time, so I'm getting fat. But the blood is the covenant. It's your whole life. Every day, in other words, you will never, ever again be out of God's presence, even though you think you are. Well, I got to go to church and sing a song, a beautiful song, and then I'll be in his presence. That's not quite accurate. if I could just thank God good and sing an anointed song and blah, blah, blah. But no, it's permanent. The veil's been ripped in half. There is no veil. The only veil now is in your heart. It's on the Jewish heart. The Jews have a veil over their heart. That's why they don't have faith. That's why they can't get access to God anymore. It's desolate. Their religion is nothing. Only the gospel will get you in. Only the gospel will get you into his presence. So the blood gets you into his presence. Then God's presence changes you from glory to glory to glory. And that's how you're changed. You're not changed any other way. You're not changed because, like Jeff was talking about Tammy, his wife, you're not changed by doing good works or by, man, I'm just going to, you know, pull my pants up. I'm going to pull my, you know, boots up or whatever you call that, where you strap them up and you gird yourself and all that. And there's no human effort there. As a matter of fact, if there's a human effort, God hates that. When you do a good work, when you do something according to your capacity. All God's interested in is your identity. If you identify, if you're, who you are is more important than what you do. Because who you are is what you'll do. If you kind of get my understanding there. if you're doing something that's not who you are, then you're a phony and a fake and a liar and a hypocrite. But if you're doing God told you you could do, then it's okay. So I'm more interested in who I am than what I do. Because who I am is what I'll do. But most Christians don't even think that. They think, I got to love my neighbor as myself because the Bible says, okay, that's good. Is that a promise or is that something you do? It's a promise by the blood. Blood gave me access. It identified who I am. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away and so are you. That's your identity. I love my wife, not because I love my wife, because the Bible says I love my wife. That's it. So I can love her, actually love her. Because that's who I am. That's who I have. That's what the blood did. That's what the covenant did to me and to you, is it gave you access to the Father. It gave you access to everything. So you're always in God's presence. Always. I say that every day, as a matter of fact. I'm like, God, thank you for giving me access by the blood. I'm in your presence right now. Right now. Everybody say, I'm in God's presence right now. Right now. It doesn't matter if you feel it or you think it. It doesn't matter. Your brain is not going to figure it out. Your brain's not going to say, wow, I'm in the presence of God. But everybody wants a feeling. That's where you're deceived. That's why Christians are so deceived, because they want a feeling, they want a miracle, they want something that they can see with their eyes. And you will. You can see those things. But really, what's interesting is the blood. The blood of Jesus. And you can read this in Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10 particularly. And I'll read the scripture here in a minute about the blood. The Bible talks a lot about the blood. Even when it talks about other things, it's really talking about the blood. Jesus Christ, when he shed his blood, that was it. Now that's your identity. That's your new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things are become new again by the blood. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word. This is Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their life even unto death. But first is the blood. That's the first. You overcome by the blood. Not by you overcoming. I'm awesome. I'm going to overcome. No, you overcome by the blood. It's just a gift. It's nothing you did. You didn't make yourself holy or righteous or anything. God did all that. You can't save yourself. You can't redeem yourself. You can't make yourself go to heaven. You can't do anything. It's all by the blood. So the blood gives you access to everything in Christianity. That's the whole covenant. It always was. When Abel was killed and his blood was shed, it speaks of better. Jesus' blood speaks better than that. His blood is precious. It speaks way better than bulls and goats and pigeons or whatever else they sacrificed. All those things were just a type, a shadow of the heavenly things. Even the tabernacle, if you read about the tabernacle in Hebrews, in the Old Testament also, you can read in the Exodus. As soon as Moses gave the law, he sprinkled everything with blood. Every word spoken was speaking because it's the blood. And that means God doesn't mark your iniquities. Isn't that good news? Yeah. To me, it's good news. That's how you can get in. You can only come in God's presence with sin. Because you need the blood. If you came in holy or cleaned up or whatever, then you wouldn't need the blood. Why would you come in with blood if you're already a good person? Or you're already whatever? No, you just come in by the blood. That's the only thing that gives me access. Nothing else. Nothing. The only thing that gives me access is not thanking Him or praising Him or doing anything. And I know it says to enter into His presence with thanksgiving, His courts of praise, which is good. We do that. But we're thanking Him for the blood. For His mercy. His mercies are new every morning. But Christians hardly even need God's mercy. Because they're already good. They're already born again. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is true, by the way. But it's because of His mercy. The mercy seat covers the law. Because the law made nothing perfect, because it doesn't touch the heart. By the law, nothing's made perfect. It's in black and white in the Bible, easy to read. So nothing's perfect by the law, then that means nothing's perfect by your behavior. I'm like Jeff in this. I did care about my kids' behavior because they didn't want them to die and whatever. But I wasn't interested in if they sinned or not. Who cares? I was interested in them knowing Jesus. I was interested in them knowing about the blood. I want them to be men and women of God, not moral, not good, not have a great job, not be a doctor or a lawyer or anything like that. I didn't care what they did for a living. I didn't care what they did. You know, I just wanted them to be men and women of God. That's it. And that's a gift. I knew it was a gift, so I was like, well, if it's a gift from God, then it kind of bypasses me, even though I say the words and stuff. It doesn't matter. God has to do it. So the blood is the covenant. It's the testament to what Jesus did. So so the devil can't defeat me now because I have the blood. People are always worried about, the devil did this, the devil's going to kill me, blah, blah. I never worry about that because I got the blood. He protects me from all my enemies. It says even the Bible he does. Even physical enemies, even the world, the COVID, you know, all the government stuff they're doing now and all this crazy. It's bad. But it doesn't matter. They're going to fall into their own trap, and God's got it all covered. As a matter of fact, the only thing that's going to shine forth in the end is us, the church, the people, you. And you don't even feel like you will, or you don't know you will, but you will. You'll shine forth because of the blood. So trust in Jesus. Don't trust in your Christianity, your morality, your goodness. You're being a conservative or whatever. Don't trust in any of that. Trust in the blood. Holiness is a gift. Righteousness is a gift. Everything you have is a gift. It even says that in the Bible. He did that because He knew you couldn't do it. He knew you could never, ever, 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 ever. If you had eternity, you would never be a good person. You would not improve one bit. Yeah, but I exercise now and I eat right. That's good. But it doesn't mean anything. It's not eternal. It's just temporal. Everything you see in this world is temporal. Everything you see, cannot see, which is in heaven, is eternal. I can't see the tabernacle. It's in heaven. But I'm there. The Bible says I am. I'm seated in heavenly place with Christ Jesus because of the blood. Not because of my righteousness or because of something. Because I had faith in His blood, which redeemed me, covered all my sin. It didn't change me, although I was changed pretty quickly as a Christian because of a miracle. But that's just because I got in His presence. Not because I was, you know, had discipline or something like that. By the way, people don't even, most Christians don't even have any discipline. But that's okay, because it's a gift. The Bible says it's the fruit of the Spirit. So if you don't have any discipline, just go to God and ask Him for it. Don't even ask Him. Just tell Him, yeah, thank you. It's a truth. Like Teresa was saying, honestly, I don't have any discipline. The truth is, I have abundance of discipline. You know, God, it says He daily loads you with benefits. Daily. So all the fruits of the Spirit are mine as a gift. Love, joy, peace. But most, even in this church, man, hardly anybody has any joy. I just can't believe it. Why would you not be happy about the blood? Happy, full of joy unspeakable that God forgave you all your, just that alone. He forgave you all your sins. You're His child. You have an inheritance stored up for you in heaven that cannot be touched. It's not even corruptible. There's nothing you can, you can't even destroy it. Even if you wanted to destroy your inheritance, you couldn't do it. Because it's not up to you. It's God. He already did it by the blood. He's already got it stored up. In Peter, you can read this in Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter. It's already stored up there in heaven for you. It's incorruptible. It cannot be changed. It cannot be destroyed or burned or whatever. As a matter of fact, it's the only thing you got. So every day you've won the lottery. And you don't even know it because you don't know. You have to know. Because you don't read it. You have to read it. It's in the Bible. So all the blood does, it destroys all your self-confidence. It's like, once you see the law, once you've seen God, His holiness, then you're undone. Just like Isaiah, you're undone. Every day, I'm undone. I'm just like, wow, God, I got nothing. And then He takes the coal and touches it to your lips or whatever, and you're forgiven. His mercies are new every morning. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. There's another scripture in Psalms that says, God takes pleasures in those that fear Him and those that hope in His mercy. Why would you hope in anything else? The mercy is the blood. That's God's mercy. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to, because your blood is not going to do it. Your blood is nothing. You could shed your blood. I mean, I know about the martyrs and all that kind of thing, and Stephen and all that. But still, it's Jesus' blood. He took on the sins of the whole world. That's the thing that killed Him, not the cross. The cross did kill Him, but that's physical death. He did die physically. But the thing that Jesus suffered was He took all the sins of the whole world on Himself. All Gina's sins would have killed Him. All my sins would have killed Him. All Leah's sins would have killed Him. That was His death. He had to do, He goes, remember He said, Father, if it be Your will, if somehow this cup, this thing that I have to do could pass, if there's another way, can that happen? And He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. But most Christians don't pray like that, because they already know God's will. Yeah, they're all. But I'm telling you better humble yourself. God exalts those that are humble, and he tears down those that are proud. And most of us are proud. Most of us are proud. I mean, I know I am. I have to die to that every day, because I'm proud. Or I'm too down, or I'm too depressed, or I'm too whatever. So I have to get exactly right. You have to be sober-minded. Sober. That means you have to go to the blood. And the blood will straighten you out. But the blood will not change you. It doesn't change you. I'm telling you, it doesn't. But it gets you in. When I became a Christian, I did change some, but I didn't change really until I got in God's presence. And when I was in God's presence, beholding Him, you're changed from glory to glory to glory. You're beholding Jesus. Only Jesus, not beholding Pastor Jim or beholding this church or beholding your wife or beholding some minister or some thing. You're beholding Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Now, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, having therefore, brethren, boldness, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As a Christian, you can come, always come to the presence of God with boldness and confidence, not because of the blood. So you can. Easy access. You know, when I go on a trip, sometimes it's pretty close, but I try to get gas at a certain, it has to be on the right side, so I just exit. It has to be perfect. But that's how God does it. He gives you easy access into the kingdom. You come boldly with all your sin. Well, I just looked at some pornography. Come right boldly in. Or I just committed adultery. Come boldly in. Or I'm proud. It doesn't matter. It doesn't even matter. God's not interested in whether you committed adultery or not or whatever you did. He's only interested in the blood. Just come in boldly to the throne because you're going to need mercy and find grace help. Mercy forgives you of all your sins, and that's the blood. And His grace changes you because it has mercy and it has power. Grace has all the power, is all you need. Solo gratia. That Joyce knows what that means. It means only grace. Only the Word. Only Jesus. And I added another one to that. Luther had five of them. I have six. I got only promise. It's only a promise. There's nothing else. It's the promise given to you by the blood, the covenant. So now that Joyce took the blood, she had faith in the blood. Now she has access to everything. The whole kingdom of God. The whole kingdom. Gets you into the whole kingdom. So you get everything. You get love, joy, peace, meekness, goodness, temperance, self-control. You get healing. That's one of the benefits of being a Christian, by the way, is this disease will not harm me or come against me. But people don't even access that because they don't even know anything about the blood. You're forgiven of everything. God does not mark iniquities. What the heck? I thought that's the whole... Most people think that's all Christianity is just a bunch of rules. And I mean, they don't even mark it. So I'm not going to mark it. I don't even mark my own sin. I don't mark Gina's sin. I don't mark David's sin. I don't mark Leah's sin. I don't even mark it. Don't even think about it. It's none of my business. None of my business at all. Even my own sin's none of my business. That's God. If He wants to show it to me, great. If He doesn't, then too bad for Him. I'm not going to worry about it. You can't gainsay God or thwart Him or out debate Him. When He says something, it's over. When He says, I'm forgiven, then I'm forgiven. I have no more... I know David Borchardt's like this. He has no consciousness of sin. No guilt. In the Old Testament, they always had guilt. The moment they made the sacrifice, they were guilty. It was just blood of a bull or something. So they never... It says that in Hebrews, by the way. They never could get rid of the guilt. They never could get rid of the consciousness of sin. They never could get rid of it because it wasn't perpetual. It wasn't... Jesus was a high priest forever. Forever. That means forever. He's a high priest. His blood was enough. Forever. So I'm a Christian forever. I'm His child forever. I have all the benefits forever, starting right now. Not starting tomorrow, not starting when I die, not starting when I get raptured, whatever you believe about that. It doesn't start, it starts right now. So I have eternal life now. This moment, this very second, the moment I got born again, I had eternal life because of the blood. And the blood gave me access into His presence, which changed me. So His presence always changed. You can't get in the presence of God and not be changed. Remember Moses? He had, his face, they could tell, it glowed. But it was fading away really fast because it was law. It was the Old Testament. It was the Jewish religion, which is worthless, particularly now, because we live in a new covenant, a new thing. It's written in our heart and in our mind. So Gina doesn't have to come to me to know Jesus, even though I might be a pastor or something. But she can know him herself. So Gina can come to Jesus exactly the way I do, exactly the way Pastor Jim did, exactly the way, just think of the biggest man of God that you think is awesome. You go in just the way he does, by the blood. It's only by the blood. So the blood covers all your sin. That's what it means, atonement. He covered your sin with the blood. You don't even look at it. You can't even see it. Where's Gina's sin at? I see his blood. That's Jesus. You're washed in the blood. Then you have a testimony. Gosh, every day you come to God's presence and he shows you your sin, but it's covered by the blood. So you have a testimony. Yeah, this happened and this happened. I was sick and I was dying in my sin, blah, blah, blah. God saved me. It's a testimony. Then you have a testimony every day because you can hear God's voice every day because you're in his presence. Once you're in God's presence and you have a testimony, you'll hear him. Man, like Jeff. Here's a scripture God showed me. Or this is what God did. I was sick and now I'm healed. And blah, blah, blah. You have a testimony. And then the hard part is you love your life even unto death. You're not afraid to die or even care about it. Pastor Jim was not afraid to die. I know he was. He told me. So I'm not afraid to die, but I'm going to recover. But he didn't recover. Well, he probably did, but we don't. We look at it from a human point of view. So you don't have to be afraid of your life, to die or not die. What's the difference? You're already in eternity anyway. As a Christian, you don't care about that kind of stuff. Why would you care if you're dead or not? I don't care if I die tomorrow or now or whenever. It doesn't matter. Even Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because it's the same. That's what he was saying is it's the same. If I live, I live to God. If I die, I die to God. I mean, you know, it's all the same. And that's it. Because it's the blood. It's Jesus Christ who is the King of kings and Lord of lords. If you abide in him and his words abide in you, and you can ask. That's why God doesn't answer your prayers hardly, because no one's abiding. They're watching TV, watching football games like Jeff. Just kidding, Jeff. But we're so into stuff, we get distracted by the world, and we forget about the blood. But God doesn't forget. He knows now, Jeff's, he's in my presence. I don't care if he's watching the Aggies play. I'm just teasing Jeff. But you just have to know that. And once you know that, you're happy. You're pleased. Because God forgave you. Even if he chastens you, you know he loves you. And God chastens me all the time. He chastens you guys all the time because he loves you. If he didn't, then you would just be a bastard. You'd be a illegitimate. You would be nothing. But he loves you, so he chastens you. That's how you do your kids. You chasten. I know David and Mary chasten Gabby, and we chasten our kids, and Jeff chastens his kids. But God does it for our good, that we might be partakers of his divine nature. We do it because it's convenient for us. I got to get some sleep. Will you shut up? No. So we do it more for human reasons. But God does it because he wants us to be a partaker of his divine nature. And the way that happens, you come to his presence with the blood. But you do. But it's only by faith. It's not real blood. It is real blood, but it's spiritual. So the blood gives you access, and then the presence of God changes you. It's that simple. The gospel's not that difficult. It's the simple gospel. It's the gospel of peace, and that gives you peace. Most Christians don't have peace because they're still trying to work something up. They're still trying to have a ministry or something. But really, you already have peace. If Joyce is righteous, then she has peace. Is she righteous? Yes. It's a gift. God gave it to her for free. He just bypassed all her sin and all her thinking and all her brains and all her whatever. And me too. I'm not smart or anything. I'm nothing. A man thinks he is something, being nothing, he's deceived. So if you think you're something, you're deceived. Jesus is everything. He's given you everything. He's the one that makes you something. He's the one that is your life now. You're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Well, that's the blood. The blood did that. The blood did that. The blood did that. The blood did that. And that's the gospel. Jesus died for your sins. He rose again from the dead so that you might do the same thing. So that Leah would die to herself, to this world, to the devil. But that's not the end of the story. There's also, if she died with Christ, she will also raise with him. Not someday in the resurrection, that's true. Someday in the future, when Jesus comes back and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we'll meet him in the air, and we'll forever be with the Lord. That's true. But you have resurrected life now. As a matter of fact, every day. You should die every day. You should be buried every day. You should be resurrected every day. That's your identity with Christ. That's who you are. That way you live a resurrected life. A life that's resurrected. But how can you live a resurrected life if you don't die first? You have to die to all your sin, all your stuff, all your sin, all your capacity to be something. And just don't worry about your capacity. You have no capacity. You never will have any capacity to do anything. To love, to be happy, to have peace. You have no capacity to do that except you identify with Jesus. Then you have all that for free. It's a good deal. Because you never had the capacity to do it anyway. But Christians are doing it all the time. They think, I have the capacity. I can do all the things through Christ who strengthens me. Blah, blah, blah. And they're all doing stuff. It's good to do stuff. But that's God's capacity. So God's more interested in your identity than he is in your capacity to do it, because you have no capacity to do it. To do anything. To be a Christian. To be in the ministry. To do anything. But God gives you the capacity because you identified with him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask the Father whatever and he'll give it to you. So it's his capacity, his ability, his everything that does it, his power. Not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by his spirit, because you entered in by the blood. So Joyce has a covenant. If only Joyce believed, she has a covenant with God, just like Abraham, exactly like Abraham. So Abraham's not, doesn't have a, can't lord it over you. Because you're the same faith as Abraham. Same. Everybody that ever lived, Moses, the Apostle Paul, everybody that's ever lived, you have the exact same identity. Exactly. Or no, he was an apostle. He was awesome. He was. But his capacity, even he admitted himself, if you read Romans chapter 7, Paul was a mess. And he said he wasn't even a trained speaker. I think that's funny. He probably didn't even wear a tie. But Paul was just a regular guy. He became a regular guy, although he was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He was an awesome, kind of like Pastor Jim, if you look at it in that way, more of a modern. Jim was super intellectual. He had a photographic memory. He was smart, kind of like my brother. My brother's like that. But that wasn't his capacity. Jim died to all that. I know he did, even though it didn't seem like he did sometimes, but he did. So all that stuff there's tons of smart people. There are a dime a dozen. But to die to all that, to die to all that, to die to all that, it made him a good minister, because he was dead. He didn't go by his own capacity to do stuff. You can do that easily because everybody here has some sort of natural capacity to do something. But it's better if you go for the identity, who you are in Christ, and pass up the identity, the capacity part, then you'll do way better. Because the identity will create the capacity for you to do whatever you got to do. A dog barks because he's a dog. You know, my dog barks a lot. So he's about ready to kill that dog, by the way. But he barks a lot. But he's a dog. He does things that dogs do because he's a dog. You're a Christian, you do things that Christians do because you're a Christian. Because of the blood. Because of God's capacity for you to do it. He created a capacity for you to do everything you need to do to be a Christian. Well, I can't give up smoking cigarettes. Or I can't stop looking at pornography. Or I can't do this. Or I can't do that. Or I can't, you know, love my neighbor. I hate my husband. I hate my wife. I hate this. I hate that. Well, those things are just stupid. Those are not, dude, that's not your capacity. Your capacity is found in Christ. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But you have to go to the blood. You have to realize that you're in God's presence all the time. Perpetually, never, ever, ever again will you not be in his presence. Even though you don't know that. You think, well, right now I'm sitting here and Danny's boring and blah, blah, blah. That doesn't matter. Every day you're in God's presence. When you're sleeping, you're in God's presence. He's right there. So when I'm sleeping or I'm awake or I'm in Africa or I'm here or I'm at work or if I'm preaching, if I'm not preaching, whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm in God's presence all the time, all the time. It's perpetual. Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's our high priest perpetually. It means it'll never end. In the Old Testament, priests, Aaron and his sons, were just temporal. They died. You know, they died. They're not here right now. They died. They did not keep going. So then it was passed on and passed on and passed on. So it wasn't perpetual. It was temporal. It was just a shadow, a type and a shadow of what was to come. If you could read the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, then you'll understand the Old Testament. If you read the New Testament in light of the Old Testament, then you'll be confused. You have to understand the Old Testament by the New Testament because that was just a type and a shadow of good of things to come. Now, we live under a better covenant, better promises, better everything, even better than Abraham. Abraham never saw the promised land. Moses never saw the promised land. And Joshua, he barely got in. So, you know, you can live your life either in your own capacity or you can identify with Jesus. That's it. The blood, the cross, the resurrection from the dead. Okay, so let's read Hebrews. Having therefore, verse 19 of chapter 10, boldness, I like that. It just means confidence. All of you should have confidence to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Wow. Just that scripture alone. Oh my God. You can come right boldly into God's presence by the blood of Jesus. All you can do is have faith in the blood. You don't have to, you know, have a theology about it or something or be confused about it. It's just blood. When you cut your finger, you bleed. It's just blood. But it's precious blood, the precious blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Jesus died, the blood was shed, the veil was rent in two. You have access to the Holy of Holies, the presence of God, constantly, all the time, without fail. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So you're coming by faith. You're not coming by, oh, I got rid of all my sin. I guess I can get in God's presence. You have to come with the blood. having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. So it's all by promise. Jesus did everything for you, in you and through you, by the blood. You got access by the blood, then by the Holy Ghost does everything else. You are forgiven, you're given access by the blood. God's presence, the Holy Ghost, changes you, convicts you of your sin, of righteousness and judgment. He also convicts you of your righteousness, by the way. Let us hold fast our profession, or our confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke one another into love and to good works. So you're provoking one another. That just means to stir up. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm stirring you up so that you will do a good... I want you to do a good work. God wants you to do a good work. But he doesn't want you to do it. He wants to do it. He wants to give you the capacity to do it. He wants to give me the capacity to love my wife as Christ loved the church. I have no capacity to do that. That would be stupid of me to even think that. I'd be ignorant of the word if I thought that. If I thought, I could love my wife. Stupid, you can't do that. I can only do it because God made a promise. Love your wife as Christ loved the church. I love my wife as Christ loved the church. Not because I had the capacity to do it, because I identified with Jesus who can do it. Do you understand that? So Jesus, if you identify with Jesus, he gives you the capacity to do whatever he called you to do. If you're a teacher, he'll give you the capacity. If you trust in him. If you trust in your own capacity, then you'll mess up. Even though you might be a good teacher or whatever. Or a pastor. If I'm a pastor, an elder, whatever people are. Or even just to be a Christian. Which is... that would be great if we had real Christians. That would be awesome. But that capacity to do that comes from Jesus as a gift. Because you identified, you found out who you were through the blood. The blood made you an heir. Just think about that. You're an heir of Jesus Christ. You're his fellow heir. So whatever Jesus gets, you gets. That's awesome. He gets everything. So you get everything. If you get Jesus Christ, you freely get all things. So when this life is over, but even now, you can have access to all that by the blood, healing. You can have all your needs met. He meets your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You have healing. You have, even better than that, you have joy and peace. Two things that people in this world want desperately that they don't have. You're not going to get it by anything else but through Jesus Christ, through the blood. The blood gives you peace with God. I just read it. It gives you peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the peace comes from your righteousness, which is a gift. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. It says that in Psalms, I think 85. And it's every time you read about righteousness or you read about peace, they're always together in the Bible. Grace, Paul said this to every epistle, except for Hebrews, if you believe Paul wrote Hebrews, which some people do, some people don't, whatever. There's nothing to argue about, but every epistle he wrote, that's what he said at the beginning. Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So the grace creates your righteousness, which creates your peace. That's the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of peace. That's what they call it in the Bible. Gospel of peace. Because you have peace with God, just like the angels sang to the shepherds. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Well, God has peace towards you. Why would you be anxious? Who cares about people? People do not have peace towards you or want you to have peace. Because they want you to be like them. Confused. Deceived. People love being deceived because it's comfortable to them. I'm the prettiest woman in the world. You're deceived. or I'm the greatest preacher ever known to mankind. You're deceived. If you think you're something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. The whole world's deceived. Mostly about that. That's the big deception, is that you're something, that you can be, you have capacity without God. Tower of Babel. We're going to make this city, we're going to make this tower so high that people will think we're awesome and we'll be great. And we'll be just like God. But you know, it's not going to happen. God is jealous. He doesn't like people to interfere with his thing. He does it. He does everything. He does everything in your life. He does everything. And if it doesn't happen, then there's a reason why it didn't happen. I don't know why. I'm not God. I don't concern myself with other people's business, other people's ministry, other people's anything, their family. I don't go to Jeff's house and say, Jeff, I hope you're loving your wife as Christ loved you. I can't check that out. I can't check anything. I have no capacity to do all that. That's God's job. Or God to fill this church or to do something. I have no capacity to do that. I can't do anything. I can do nothing. Without him, I can do nothing. I don't even want to do it. If God doesn't want to do it, then he won't do it. I don't know. People always ask me, what do you think? Is the church going to do this or that? Or I don't know. I'm not God. I don't know anything. I don't even know what my wife's going to do. I'm not her God. She has her own God, Jesus. I don't know. I don't know what people think, how they feel, what their heart is. I have no idea. I can't judge another man, so I can't judge Obo's heart. I don't know him. That's Jesus, or David's, or Louise. I can't judge anybody's heart because I don't know. Why? That is none of my business. It's not my job to be a... If you're a pastor, for instance, you are not a sheriff or some kind of guy that makes sure everybody doesn't sin or whatever. That's not what you do. All you're doing is telling people, here's a pastor. A pastor is someone who gets you to Jesus. I'm telling you how to get to Jesus through the blood. He does all the changing. He does all the everything. So he will change you from glory to glory to glory, and that's your capacity. And he's the only one that can do that. Does everybody understand that about capacity and about identity? If your identity is in Jesus, or you know who you are in Christ, then you have the capacity to do whatever God tells you to do. And that's through the blood. Your identity comes through the blood. Your identity comes through the covenant. You're just exactly like Abraham. Abraham believed God and was accounted to him for righteousness. And you believed, and he believed in the blood too. God himself will provide a lamb, he told his son Isaac. Your children are the promise, just like Isaac. Isaac was a child of promise. You're a child of promise. So everything in the Bible is just a promise. Only promise. You live by every promise in the Bible. You don't live by another word. You don't live by the CDC rules or whatever, or the government. Those are all elements. The Bible calls those the elements of the world. It's just elements of the world. You don't live by those. You have no law. If you're a Christian, you have no law. Every day I go, God, thank you. I'm free today, free to do good, free to follow you. I'm not under any law. If you're under law, then you don't follow Jesus. You follow the law. It's not Jesus. Jesus is not a law. He sets you free from the law of sin and death. He sets you free from that. So if you're under a law, then you are a man most to be pitied. It's better if you were just debauched than to be under a law. Because the law will put you in bondage. You will never get to Jesus that way. He only saves the hot. He only saves the cold and the hot. Lukewarm. They don't make it. But a lot of the cold people will make it. Like me, I was cold when I became a Christian. It's the only way you come in, cold. Because you're wicked, evil. And you're not going to make it without Jesus. You're not going to make it without the blood. So the blood I'm just going to close with this. The blood gives you access to the kingdom. It gives you access to everything, your inheritance, heaven itself, your true inheritance, which is built in heaven. God, Jesus is building you a place in the true tabernacle. The true tabernacle is in heaven. And God told Moses, "said you build that thing exactly the way I'm telling you to build it," just like He told Noah how to build the ark, because that's a replica of what's in heaven. Now it's not the real thing, but it's good enough that they'll get the idea. So that people, so that the Jews would look forward to, Moses looked forward to Jesus' day, and they were glad. They were glad. Abraham was glad when he saw our day. It's better promises, better hope, the blood of Jesus. So Father, we thank You for Your word today. We thank You, Father, that You have given us access by the blood of Jesus Christ to Your presence, to Your anointing, to Your everything. So we thank You for that. We thank You that Your peace that passes all understanding is in our hearts, not because it's there because we're righteous. It's there because we have gained access through the blood of Jesus Christ into Your presence, and Your presence changes us from glory to glory to glory. Well, that gives us hope. That means today is a day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because of the blood. It's the best day of our life. This is the only day we got. I don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about yesterday. It's all past. And we just thank You, Father God, that You secured everything for us through Jesus Christ, through His blood. The present, we live in the presence. We're happy in the presence because our past has been completely and utterly forgiven. You don't even remember it. And our future is secure because of the blood, because of the covenant, because we have an access to the Holy of Holies, which is Your presence. And that's how we're changed every day from glory to glory. That's how we get rid of our sin. That's how we do our capacity. That's how we do everything we know we can do, is through Your presence. So we thank You. We praise You. We love You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And we love our neighbor as ourself, because You made a promise and You executed it. Just like Joyce was saying, Philema, You actually executed Your will on earth through Jesus Christ, who did all the work, and the Holy Spirit, who does all the work for us, in us, and through us. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen.